Welcome to America Weekend, a new kind of radio because life doesn't stop on the weekends. The headline on the website is certainly eye-grabbing. It says, Mars 2023, Inhabitants Wanted. That is the headline on the website of Mars One, a project that wants to send you to the red planet with a one-way ticket. Yeah, that's right. You ain't coming back. That's the idea behind a project that's put together by my next guest, Boz Lansdorp, who's the CEO of Mars One and the visionary behind this idea. Boz, welcome to America Weekend.
Good morning, Paul. It's great to be on the show. Thank you.
So, am I right about this? It is a one-way ticket?
Yeah, that's right. Mars One is organizing a manned mission to Mars in 2023, and the only reason that we can do it in such a rapid timescale is because we have done it with existing technology, and that means that we cannot provide a return mission because the technology for a return mission simply does not exist yet.
All right, so you have this website where you're asking people to apply, and there are actually videos that people have made that you've got posted on the page. How many people have applied to become an astronaut on the way to Mars?
We released a press release in the beginning of this week. At that time, we had 78,000 applications from all over the world. And they're still coming in. I don't have the updated number. I'm actually in the U.S. Today. Because I had a meeting with one of our suppliers 2 days ago. So I'm not up to date on the statistics, but 78,000 is already a number that we are very happy with.
And where are they from? You say they're from all over the Earth, but tell me what you know about them, you know, based on age and geography.
Well, the biggest two countries so far have been the USA and China, about 17,000 people from the USA and 10,000 from China. And I think this is because we organized press conferences in the US and in China for the start of the application program. The distribution of what kind of people they are, it's very interesting to see, and I really recommend people to just take a look at some of the videos because it's so engaging to see people explain why they want to leave the Earth behind forever. And you'll see that it's a very widespread. It's mostly somewhat younger people, so between 18 and 35. I think there are more people than in the ages above that. There's more men than women, which basically means that women have a bigger chance of success because we will be sending two men and two women in every crew that we send to Mars. And they're from all kinds of backgrounds. I couldn't name the examples, but it's really from every kind of background that you can imagine. So it's a very widespread, and that's very good because we want, when people go to Mars, we want this to be a good representation of the population of the Earth. So we want two men, two women, four different continents represented in each crew, some kind of age range represented in each crew, and this is how we feel that the world will feel that it's their mission to Mars.
How long will the trip take?
Flying to Mars takes about 7 months, but as you've already said, after that your stay on Mars is indefinite.
So you better like the people you're going with.
That's a very, very, very good point, and this is the basis of our selection. So what we will do is select people not because they're good engineers or because they're good doctors, because we can teach everyone all the skills they need to know in the 7 years that they will train for this mission. Instead, we will be selecting for people who are good in groups. It sounds like a very basic requirement, but it is the most important one because these people are on Mars and they're on their own. Every 2 years, new groups join, but especially the first group, they are on their own.
Yeah, these are the only
supply mission.
These are the only people you're going to talk to for 2 years. So yeah, I guess you can't cast this like reality TV shows do, where there's always the one jerk who's just going to make trouble for everybody. If you do that, you're asking for trouble with your mission, aren't you?
Absolutely. The jerk will stay right here on Earth. It will be our problem here on Earth to deal with the jerk. We'll be sending people that can cooperate very well. And, of course, this is not we are planning to organize interesting stories, TV broadcasts around this mission to Mars to finance it. But it's not going to have anything to do with what people call reality TV nowadays, because reality TV really is not reality TV.
Right.
I would compare it more with the Olympic Games, where a team of players, a team for instance, basketball players, they are going to do not basketball, but they're going to do one of the other most exciting things ever. They're going to go to Mars, and it's this teamwork that will be so interesting for people on Earth to follow.
Okay, so let's say I'm one of the four. I'm not going to be, but let's just hypothetically say I'm one of the four that goes there. And let's not even talk about the 7 months to get there, but let's talk about the day we land. We get to Mars, and there's nothing there, Boz. Where are we going to live?
Well, when the first crew lands, there will be a habitable settlement waiting for them. So we have 8 cargo missions to Mars before the humans go there to prepare a settlement. And in your settlement, Paul, there will be water and air and oxygen waiting for you. So there will definitely be something waiting. But Mars is a very desolate place. So if you are a person who likes forests and who likes oceans, then you shouldn't go. But there are many people who don't care so much about oceans and forests, but who are at their place in the desert and who are at their place exploring new things. And it's these kinds of explorers that we will be looking for.
So I'm curious about this because it sounds like more of a sociology experiment than a science experiment.
Well, actually, it's our goal to put humans on Mars, and it's that just that goal is the biggest goal, bigger than any of our science goals or outreach goals or other goals that we might have. So the biggest goal is just to put those people there, because I think that having that Apollo 11 moment in a mission to Mars here on Earth in this digital media time frame, I think it will literally change the world. It will make everybody believe that anything is possible. If we can land humans on Mars, we can do anything.
Well, I remember I remember how many people were thrilled when we just sent the rovers to Mars and they landed successfully last year. But I'm glad you mentioned Apollo, because you know when we went to the moon and Armstrong and Aldrin were the first of 12 people, the only 12 people to put footprints on the lunar surface. That was to me, the greatest accomplishment in human history. But people got tired of it. People got bored with it. The American, maybe it's the psyche of America, and our attention span is so short that after a while, going to the moon seemed almost blasé. We only sent 6 missions there, and we got kind of bored with it. So I wonder how long people are going to stay interested in the people that you're sending to Mars.
Well, I'm a mechanical engineer, so my experience with the media was not so large when I started Mars One more than 2 years ago. So I have asked our media experts exactly that same question, and I didn't know the answer at that point. But they have advised us that if you can involve the audience from the start in this human mission to Mars, so we asked the audience to help select the right candidates. After, of course, our experts have eliminated the not so qualified candidates. So, involving the audience in the selection, in the training, in the trip to Mars, this makes the people that go to Mars not just astronauts, anonymous astronauts that are going to Mars. This makes this our TV friends that are going on a mission in which they will ask us to join them, and it's this human element that will make it something that people will watch for a very long time. And of course, it will be a huge, huge peak. And when the first crew lands on Mars, I think that literally everybody who can will watch it happen. So that's more than 4 billion people in 2023 will have an internet connection. So something like that, that's the order of magnitude of the audience. And of course, it will drop off in the missions after that. But that's no problem. We don't need that kind of audience to finance what we want to do. So we believe, and that's confirmed by our media experts, that we will still have good revenues from the stories that we will tell around this human mission to Mars in the years after that. But there's another big source of revenue that will come from intellectual property. Mars One is financing the development of the hardware for this mission. And there will be good intellectual property developed by our suppliers. And Mars One will make sure that it's co-owner of these technologies And the revenues from this IP will help us finance the future of the human colony, even if there's not so many people watching anymore.
Well, I think it's a fascinating project, and I will be watching it as it goes forward. You can apply until August 31st. You can go to mars-1.com to see all about the application process. Boz, thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul. It was great to be on the show.
Boz Lansdorp, the CEO of Mars One. I'm Paul Harris. America Weekend.